This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever. I'm kind of having my own 2012, Nicole. There's a real energetic change going on, and a whole new era of my life is opening up, and I've waited for this for a long time. When you have one after the other after the other, it's like, all right, bring them on, whatever, whatever. Because they ain't going to stop me. You know, I ain't going to be stopped. So throw everything you like, you know, and it don't matter, you know. Some of these scientists, the ones that understand that the carbon dioxide causes global warming scam is a nonsense, they are utterly incredulous at how obvious it is what the real cause of global warming is while it's being completely ignored. It's on that lie, provably so, that all these new laws, taxations, changes, impositions are being justified. We ain't seeing anything yet. I'm not having it. I am not showing up. I will not shut up. And if what I'm saying is true, why should I? No matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter. It's an illusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Icke. Well, it's been a while since we've talked.
Well, I've been in bunker, mate. You know what I mean? I would in the bunker using this new book.
Well, I want to find out about the new book, obviously,
okay.
And a little bit about filling in the blanks. I've had people writing me over the last year and a half going, is David okay? Is everything going all right? And so, you know, we want to address that. So
all right.
Why don't we start there before we get to the book and the new stuff?
Okay.
As far as, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm going through great changes in my life at the moment, and they're manifestations of energetic changes. Where, I mean, I've been going through another transformation, if you like, over the last kind of year, but it's getting stronger and stronger. I'm kind of having my own 2012, Nicole, I think. There's a real energetic change going on, and a whole new era of my life is opening up, and I've waited for this for a long time, because the last phase, which I guess began around 10 years ago, has been real, real tough, and it's something that's been very difficult to get through sometimes, despite producing all the books. You know, it's been my most creative period of my life, but it's been a real challenge in many ways. And the challenges continue, but, you know, life is about not so much challenges, but the point from which we observe them. You know, you can look at the same thing, and one person sees it completely different to the other, and one goes through emotional trauma as a result of their point of observation of this situation, and someone else, it don't matter. You know, just get on with your life. It's not the problem you think it is. And I tell you what I've started to do as this energetic change has proceeded and got more and more powerful, is that I've taken a different point of observation to everything, and it really, really does not help put this illusory, nonsensical crap into perspective. I was listening to some interviews with near-death experiences a few weeks ago, and there was tremendous common themes there in terms of what they experienced. But I remember one who said the moment he left the body, there was no past, present, or future. He knew what people were thinking about him. He knew what people had thought about him. He knew what people were going to think about him. There was no sequence. There was no time. There was no space. Everything happened in one now. And of course, the perspective of this reality while he was encased in the computer, the body that filters reality so that we only experience a small tiny band of infinite possibility, his perspective of that from where he was just dramatically different. Of course, it was so many things that mattered. Oh my goodness, it's so important. Oh my goodness, mate, it's so stable. Oh my God. Well, chill out. It's all an illusion. So I'm more and more putting my point of observation there of this world rather than my point of observation being how you're supposed to, in emotional and mental terms, react to certain things. Another thing that I do, it makes people sometimes difficult to understand why I do certain things, is the point of the whole thing that I'm doing is to put before people information and understandings that will allow them to have another view of reality. Don't mean they have to believe it, but at least it will be put before them. And at the end of my life, the end of this illusory experience, how I will look back from that point of view where that near-death experience there was, will be very different to the way that people would perceive life as they live it as they go through. And what I mean by that is I will be saying to myself, did I do what I set out to achieve? Did I do as much as I possibly could? And if the answer to that is yes, then, you know, I'll feel good. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm pleased about that. But what tends to happen is we get caught in irrelevancies and diversions, and we get pulled from that absolute focus. This is what I've come to achieve, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is going to take my priority. Things that some would think were important in terms of, I don't know, relationships, whatever, to me, they're just part of the illusory journey. And okay, you learn from them and you can enjoy them or not enjoy them or whatever, but the focus of my life is first and foremost to put before people information that they don't normally receive. Because when we leave this world and we look back from that vastness of perspective comparatively, it's not, did you say the right thing to this person? Did you go to the right place here? All that stuff from the five sense point of view. It's, are people in that five sense reality in an Orwellian state? Are their children being microchipped at birth? Are they being completely disconnected from their infinite multidimensional self? Or has a contribution been made to stop that happening so that people can experience this reality, and it's just a reality and we can experience it and, you know, a good time, but in freedom of thought, in freedom of action, in freedom of living your perspective, rather than being born into an Orwellian world of machine-like control. That's where I come from. I come from that perspective of I'm going to do what's best for this work, whatever you want to call it, at all times. And that makes me live my life with a different set of values in terms of, you know, what priority in my life and what's not.
And it's interesting how, as you mentioned, you know, you go through these changes and awakenings, and it's not like the other stuff necessarily goes away. You just see it differently.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still there, and maybe amplified even. How is the court case thing going?
Well, that runs on, and it's enormously expensive. You know, I've had people come into my life in this cycle of 10 years, and it's been an interesting, from the perspective I am now, to look back and see how the people, first of all, vehemently say how passionate they are in supporting what you're doing. And, oh, this information's got to get out, and it's all fantastic, and, oh, my God, it's so important. And at the same time, they make your life and your ability to communicate that work more difficult than anyone else. And in this period now that I'm living through, these people and those influences, those energies are going out of my life, and this is all part of this transformation. We can see the problems we have as, oh God, everything's gone wrong, oh my goodness. Or we can say, hey, how do you make steel stronger, harder, more impossible to destroy? You put it through fire, you know, and you hammer it into what you want. And no one said it was going to be easy, so I've had so many challenges in my life, and it's not just me. I mean, of course, everyone has challenges in their life, but I've had so many challenges in the last, 20 years, that it's like my arthritis, Nicole, to be honest. I've had arthritis since I was 15. I played professional soccer with it till I was 19, and then it got so bad. Sorry, 21 it was, not 19. I thought I was going to stop at 19, but I kept going till 21. And I played professional soccer, and much of the time in agony. But eventually it was too bad, I had to give up. And it's kind of, you know, progressed through the years and stuff like that. And to me, pain that would give incredible grief and suppress the people's ability to do things and put them in a really bad space because it's so painful. To me, it's so natural to me to be in pain that the threshold just is not the same. And that doesn't mean, you know, I'm better than anyone else or braver than anyone else or anything like that. It's just the fact that I have experienced pain on a daily basis since, well, I was a teenager virtually. And so, therefore, it's not the same to me. And it's a similar situation with these challenges you get. Just one of the challenges might floor people and make them give up. But when you have one after the other after the other, it's like, all right, bring them on, whatever, whatever. Because they ain't going to stop me. You know, it's going to be stopped. So throw everything you like, you know, and it doesn't matter. It's like, I really remember the Muhammad Ali fight when he fought George Foreman. And Muhammad Ali was coming towards the end of his career. He was not as fit and strong as he was before. And George Foreman was the big hitter. He was the man, the champion. No one could beat him. And Ali went in the ring with him. And George Foreman threw punch after punch after punch after punch. And Ali was virtually throwing no punches because he was just defending himself from damage. And then in the end, Foreman had punched himself out so much he could hardly lift his hands in the air, never mind punch anybody. And Ali hit him and he went down. I come from that perspective, if you like. Not I want to hit anybody or hurt anybody, but these challenges and people that try to bring me down and people that try to make what I'm doing more difficult, often while saying that they're trying to support me, that is just, you know, okay, just another thing to deal with, so we'll deal with it, okay? And through all of this period of 10 years, like I say, while all this has been going on, it's been a tremendously creative period for me. It's been the most creative period of my life, with book after book after book after book. And I've been through this situation to secure control of my books, which is still going on, although we're further down the road than we were when we started. And without the financial support of people that support me through the website, you know, we would be finished now. I mean, there would be no books. None of my books would be in circulation. There'd be no new ones. Simple as that. And it's been a fantastic encouragement to me on a level that people who've contributed will never fully understand. To see in the situation that I'm in, trying to communicate information through blockages in our society, which is actually structured to stop this stuff coming out, obviously, that there is so much support, and I'm not on my own. It feels like it sometimes, but I know I'm not, and this court case has shown me that, and so it has its positive side. So in this period where I've been involved in legal things and going to court to get control of my books again, I've also written a really major work, which is just been finished, is going to come out in September, which is pulling together all the things that I've researched and come up with over the last 20 years, plus a massive new stuff, and it's fitting the dots together. You know, and at the end of the day, sometimes I've been working 12 hours a day on it, 6 in the morning. I like to work early, 3 to 6 at night, sometimes 8 at night, and it's been such a mental challenge because there's so many dots to connect and so much information to hold in your head until you can connect it with this and weave it with this. That sometimes I walked out of the little office where I work like a zombie. You know, what day is it? What planet is it? What's my name? But this has all been done while all this stuff's been going on. So it is possible, despite efforts to divert you, despite efforts to block what you're trying to do, it's still possible to deal with that and still keep walking and still keep producing. And I think this is the most comprehensive and cutting-edge book that I've come up with so far.
I've always noticed that it's amazing what we can do when we have to, when we're pushed to the wall and extended by these kinds of things. So what is the book called?
Well, it's called The David Icke Guide to the Global Conspiracy, and the subtitle is Brackets and How to End It. And it's weaving together not just how the conspiracy works, but the nature of reality and how it's manipulated, how we create reality, how the body is a computer and we identify with the computer as who we are when we're really consciousness. And there's lots of people doing fantastic work communicating now the 5 cents level of this manipulation, the banking scam, the political manipulation, the wars on terror and 9/11, all that stuff. And that's all in the book. It's all weaved together with all this other stuff. But to really, A, understand the scale of what's going on, and the foundation of it, which is the manipulation of our reality by understanding how we create reality while at the same time structuring society and education and science so that we don't know that. If we don't know how we create reality and the manipulators do, well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, talk about candy from a baby. It's a piece of cake to manipulate vast numbers of people. If you don't understand that, then you can reveal, and it needs to be, and congratulations to them, you can reveal the way the 5 cents level of reality works and how it's manipulated and how the secret societies operate and how politicians are wangled into position and how they're not in power at all. They're just vehicles for people in the shadows of the real power structure. You can do all that, and it should be done. But to really understand the big, big level within which that plays out as a physical experience, we need to understand the nature of reality. And we also need to understand that for the crucial part of the book, and the crucial part of what we're doing, which is, okay, there's a manipulation going on. We're being manipulated to operate in five-sense reality and disconnect from multidimensional consciousness so that we have a tiny, tiny perspective on life and who we are instead of being able to see it in the greater vastness of all that is. To do that, we've got to understand reality and how we create it so that we can stop having people manipulate our reality to suit them and start to create our own, one that we want, and take the freedom back to create our own universes rather than have to be imprisoned in someone else's. All that's in the book, and I'm so pleased with it because of the way the dots connect. And the more that I worked on it, and the more the dots connected, the more blatant and understandable became the way the world is structured today. Why things are done in certain ways, why they're structured in certain ways, why this happens, why that happens, why they do it that way. Once you get the bigger picture, you get the coordinates for who we are, where we are, and what's going on, then the world starts to make absolute sense, because it's so important that the pressure groups of various kinds that are challenging the environmental things, they're challenging banking scams, they're challenging the pharmaceuticals, government manipulation, they need to understand they're actually challenging the same force. And all these different things that these pressure groups are set up to campaign against or for are actually faces on the same, or masks on the same face. And we need to start getting together and understanding this, otherwise we're just divided and ruled, even at the level of campaigning to change the injustices of the world. Another area that I go into in some detail in the book, and I think it's becoming increasingly important, Nicole, to be honest, and that's global warming. What I call the carbon cultists are now using global warming to bring in a change, more and more draconian, appropriately, draconian rules, laws, more and more taxation, more and more reasons to stop doing this or to do that. It's becoming more the problem, reaction, solution, excuse, than even 9/11. It's very, very important that people realize that, yes, the temperature is going up, but the lie is in the why. Why is it going up? It's going up not because of human carbon dioxide emissions. It's going up because the sun is generating more solar radiation. And when you hear the propaganda, the world's top scientists are all agreed. No, they're not all agreed. The United Nations panel on climate change is actually a political organization. And many, many, many scientists that were even involved in the reports don't agree with the conclusions that the report comes to, which have been communicated through an unquestioning media to the public, who get the impression that everyone's agreed. No, they're not. And the evidence is absolutely blatant and stunning that the sun is emitting more solar radiation, therefore it's warming. And that's why other planets, including Mars and others, are also getting hotter. Now, let me think. Now, also, these different planets in this solar system are all getting hotter at the same time. Now, what's the common theme? Do they have factories on Mars? Do we ever see a picture of that on Mars? Things? Oh, what was it? What could it be? Maybe it's turbocharged trucks on Jupiter. Maybe that's what it is. It's the sun. Of course it's the sun. It's the common theme. And what a staggering thing, Nicole. What a staggering kind of conclusion to come to. That when the sun gets hotter, the planet temperature goes up. Have you noticed that? When you go out and the sun comes out, it gets warmer. I mean, some of these scientists are the ones that understand that the carbon dioxide causes global warming scam is a nonsense. They are utterly incredulous at how obvious it is what the real cause of global warming is, while it's being completely ignored. And when you look at the graph of what they call sunspot activity, when there's more and more energy being generated from the sun, I mean, some of these sunspots, these great explosions on the sun, some of them are as big as Jupiter. And the more sunspot activity that you see, the more solar radiation is being projected into the solar system, and the more the temperature goes up. And we had a situation hundreds of years ago where they had what scientists call the medieval warm period, when the temperature was higher than it is today. And so you say, hold on a second, I read history about medieval period, I never heard anything about turbocharged hand carts. Did you ever hear about that? And the exhaust fumes coming out of flowers and stuff, I don't remember that. So what caused global warming in the medieval warm period? The sun did. And there was a period of great sunspot activity. Then sunspot activity started to fall until it reached the point where it was measured by an observer, a scientist called Maunder, and it's got the scientific name now, the Maunder minimum, when sunspot activity virtually, not stopped, but almost was unmeasurable. And that's when we had, following the medieval warm period, what science calls the Little Ice Age. This is the Little Ice Age when you still see some of the pictures on Christmas cards back in the 1600s, 1700s, when people were literally having ice bears on the River Thames because it had frozen over. Then the sunspot activity started to increase, and the temperature on Earth started to rise. And it went up and up and up. And the graph of sunspot activity increase to Earth temperature increase is like they're connected by magnets. They are absolutely at one, the two of them. It went up, the sunspot activity and temperature, to 1940, at which point it fell, sunspot activity fell, and so therefore did temperature, from 1940 to 1975. So much so, Nicole, that the BBC in the early 70s were doing documentaries about the possibility of a coming ice age, and they were showing mocked-up pictures of London frozen under ice, and the great weather catastrophe was going to be an ice age. From 1975, the sunspot activity started rising again, and so did Earth temperature. And both of them, one following the other, have gone on rising ever since until we reach today. Carbon dioxide is a minor greenhouse gas. 95% of greenhouse gases is water vapor. I've got a great idea. Let's ban water. Hey, let's have a kind of blockage on the amount of water we can produce. I mean, please. So you've got carbon dioxide being a fractional percentage of greenhouse gases, and the amount that humans produce is a fraction of that. Now, I'm not saying pollution is a good thing. This is where they divert you and change the point of the argument. I'm not saying that pollution is a good thing. It'd be great to have less pollution. Of course it would. But the question is not that. In the case of global warming, it's do carbon dioxide emissions cause the rising temperature? Because it's on that lie, provably so, that all these new laws, taxations, changes, impositions are being justified. And we ain't seeing anything yet. This theory is growing all the time. And there are certain red flags, alarm bells that go off when you research this subject for as long as I have. And one of them is called Al Gore. The very fact that Al Gore, whatever Al Gore is involved in, is a scam, because he's a front man for the mob, the Illuminati. This is the reason why, when he was blatantly not allowed to be president, when he had the votes to be so, and Bush won in 2000, he never kicked up the stink that anyone else would in that situation, when it was quite obvious there'd been a manipulation of the vote. He didn't do it because that wasn't his role. He knows his place. And now he becomes a high priest, because it's become a religion, of the carbon cult. And he's produced this documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, and the book of the same name. I understand, my goodness me, he's been proposed for the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, for making a documentary, telling lies. I mean, is it me or what? And anything that Al Gore is involved in is part of the scam. So you put all these things together. And global warming is, well, not global warming because the temperature's going up, but the fact that it's caused by carbon dioxide emissions is one of the major cards being played now to push on the Orwellian centralized state.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Is that in your book?
Yes, in detail, okay. With the graphs and stuff to show. And one other thing that happens, Nicole, that affects temperature is that when there's an increase in solar radiation hitting the Earth, there is a decrease in cosmic rays. And it's cosmic rays interacting with water vapor that creates clouds. And, of course, if there's a reduction in cosmic rays, there's a reduction in cloud activity. Therefore, there's a much greater amount of solar radiation goes directly to the Earth and the temperature goes up. And, again, the graph of the cosmic rays stroke against sunspot activity is are, again, two graphs with a magnet that go up and down with each other. Of course they do, because one's causing the reaction from the other. It is not even vaguely theoretical that increased solar radiation is the cause of global warming. It's clear, provable fact. The reason that we don't know that, except that there was a wonderful documentary in this country a few months ago called The Great Global Warming Swindle, in which these scientists, and really, really at the top of their professions and their specialities, were actually given a platform at last, just once, to say carbon-caused global warming is a nonsense and explain why. And the reason that that's not known by most people is because the propaganda is all one way. And again, there are other alarm bells in situations when there's a scam going on. And one of them is when only one side of the argument is given and stressed against a situation where anyone who's put in the alternative is not challenged on the facts. They are attacked personally and dismissed in terms of almost, there's this phrase now that's being thrown around by some of these carbon cultists called global warming deniers. Mm-hmm. It's like Holocaust denier, you know. By definition, you're a really bad person and you don't care about people and you don't care about the Earth and you're really, really horrible if you say, actually, this global warming is being caused by something else. And when you've got that combination ever of one side of the argument being stressed and anyone putting the other side of the argument being attacked personally and vilified personally, then you've got a massive scam on your hands. And then these scientists were saying how if you put forward a research project which is based on global warming is caused by carbon dioxide, you get the funding. You do the opposite. You put forward a desire for funding to bring about research that shows that it's the sun. No way do you get the funding. In fact, you start to get vilified within the profession. Some of these scientists have had death threats simply by saying, it's a scam, it's a lie, this is not caused by that. And that's always a obvious sign of a massive manipulation going on, and it is, that's what it is, and it's really up front now, really at the cutting edge of the justifications for pushing the agenda forward.
Well, it smacks of manipulation in the way it's been delivered in, you know, like you said, introducing taxes and creating more ways of lack and limitation kind of energy in the media. Mm-hmm. And definitely it's been a very unpopular thing to speak against. And I think you're definitely onto something there. It's been interesting not being able to voice that in very many places, as you say.
Right.
Definitely a sign.
But the thing is, if what you're saying is correct, then keep saying it, because eventually it'll be proof so. I mean, one of the reasons that so many people are turning to my books and information in latter years is because what was in them years ago is now happening. And so I'd say to people, just because people hurl abuse at you or try to undermine you or whatever, again, coming back to what we talked about earlier, point of perspective. If your point of perspective is in this world and what people think of you because you're caught in the illusion, then you might shut up if you start saying things and get a bad reaction. But if you hold the perspective, what would I think of what I'm doing? What would my choice be if I was coming from the perspective outside the body? Then, of course, from that perspective, you would think, oh my goodness me, why did I shut up? Because it didn't matter, because it was just an illusion. What does it matter what people said to me? Why did I shut up? So, and if you can hold that perspective while you're here, then you don't shut up, because you know that what people say about you does not matter from the perspective of the wider consciousness, infinite consciousness, out-of-body consciousness. So just keep talking, and if what you're saying is right, it will eventually prove to be so. And one thing's for sure, if you shut up and walk away, nothing's going to change, and those that are putting the lies out to manipulate the masses of the people, they are just going to have a free rein to do it. I'm not having that. I will not have that. I will not shut up. I will not shut up under any circumstances, and people can hurl as much abuse as they like, undermine me as much as they like. This left foot is going in front of the right foot, and then the right foot's going in front of the left foot, and then I'm going to start a jog, and then I'm going to start a sprint, and you try to stop me, you know? You can't say that. Oh, just listen. You got ears, haven't you? Yeah, great. Okay. Just listen. You watch me say it. And if it has a power in itself, we are far more powerful than ever we think that we are, because we still observe ourselves from the body computer level of reality. We look in the mirror and we think that's ours. No, it's not. I don't do that anymore. When I look in the mirror, I see a vehicle. I see a highly advanced computer. That's what I see. I am consciousness. You are consciousness. We're all consciousness. We're all the same infinite consciousness. And that infinite consciousness has infinite power for change, infinite power for creativity, infinite power for genius, infinite power for everything. Because that's what it is, infinite. It's all. So if we can live our lives within this computer, not relate who we are to it, but know what it's a vehicle to experience this frequency range, which allows us to pick things up. Because, of course, if we didn't have a body that resonated within the frequency range you want to interact with, we couldn't pick anything up, because consciousness is vibrating so fast that it would just pass through it. There'd be no interaction. And so it's a vehicle. But we have been kidded and manipulated into believing the vehicle is us. It's like being at your desk and working on the PC and stuff and thinking the computer's you. People say that's crazy. You know, if you were two spacemen on the moon and one of them started identifying who he was with his spacesuit, I mean, what would they say? I mean, the other guy would be, "Hey, Houston, we got a problem. Bill thinks he's his spacesuit." Oh, my God. He's gone mad. Well, he may have done, but that's what we're doing all the time, because we don't realize it's a spacesuit. We think it's us. And if we can tap in to that level of infinite consciousness, then it's not David Icke or Nicole or Bill Smith who is actually expressing into this reality. It's infinite consciousness is doing it. Infinite power, infinite ability for creativity, and all the other stuff I was talking about. So we become the whole expressing itself in this reality through what we call a body, instead of being just a little me, because I'm just a body, and I'm just all I am, and what can I do, and I'm just little public, and they're ever powerful, and what can I do? It's a completely different point of perspective. So I'm not having it. I am not showing up. I will not shut up. And if what I'm saying is true, why should I? If it isn't, I shouldn't be saying it. So, no matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter how people seek to disrupt you or hurl abuse at you or try to get people to think bad of you and all this stuff. It doesn't matter. It's an illusion.
I can't tell you how many times I've been listening to the news lately, especially over the last year, with the amount of bills that have whooshed through, especially in the states, as far as taking, you know, civil liberties, what's left of them, and rewriting them. The most recent being, I think it was about a month ago, when they declared that George Bush had the power to single-handedly, without counsel with anyone, declare national emergency.
That's right. The truth is that George Bush hasn't got the power to tie shoelaces. He's the vehicle through which the people with power are bringing that stuff in, and will dictate when it does and when it doesn't. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I've got an archive on my website, and one of the archives is Big Brother, and all those kind of stories. So everyone wants to go through those, because, you know, like you do, you know, you have the website and you have the news and stuff, so you're constantly seeing stuff that most people don't see, because most of it doesn't get on the news. The main news are in the main newspapers. And the rate of imposition and the destruction of basic freedoms is just breathtaking. But not just the speed, but the breadth and scale of kind of real basic freedoms that have been taken away. But I see this in, I go into this in the book, I see this in a from a rather different perspective. I don't think the prime reason for all this is more control. I think the prime reason for it is holding on to the control that's already there. Of course, to an extent, they're getting more control by doing these things. But the reason it's happening now is because there is an energetic change going on. It's one of these great cycles. And energy is coming into this reality, which is starting to act like a spiritual alarm clock. It's starting to wake people up. And I've been a barometer for this over the last 20 years, because when I started, no one wanted to know. They just laughed in my face and laughed at me on the telly and laughed at me in the street. There was just no interest, really, apart from a few. And now I've seen it's exponential. It's gathering pace. And the curve is going up ever more steeply of people that are beginning to open their minds to this and wake up and see what they would have laughed at before. I was on a ferry the other day where this smart-suited guy came up to me and said, can I talk to you? I want to discuss things with you. And he sat down. It turns out he's a physicist, this guy. And he said, well, how do you see reality, basically? And I explained about the body, the computer, the holographic internet, as I call it, this reality, and all the stuff that we've talked about before in this program. And he's going, oh, my God, that makes so much sense. And he's a bloody physicist. And there are people now, even in the left brain professions, where they find getting their heads around some of this stuff very difficult because their right brain is under-stimulated. They're beginning to open their minds to this. I know people who I would have thought, oh my goodness me, no way that guy's going to have a wake up in my lifetime. And suddenly they're really seriously woken up. And because we're not learning anything new, we're remembering what we already know by removing the barriers we create and throw around, these energetic barriers that disconnect us from that level of knowledge, that level of knowing that is always there, but we shut ourselves off from it and are manipulated to do that by the way society is structured. So there is this change going on, this energetic change, and it is really starting to have an effect. I mean, some people have connected it to the Mayan calendar of 2012 and this great end of one cycle of energetic cycle, the start of another, and clearly though the parallels are obvious. There has to be a connection. My feeling is on 2012, it's not going to be 1 minute or 1 hour in 1 year when there's suddenly going to be this vast change. I think it's 2012 is the window in the midst of this change, which is gathering pace all the time, and by 2012 it's going to be much further forward than it is now. And so at the level of the real power brokers, the real power point of power, which is expressing itself through the Bushes and the Blairs and the Kissingers, they know this is happening, and they've been preparing for it coming. And so it's no accident, Nicole, absolutely none whatsoever, that in the time that this awakening and this energetic change is happening, this is the very time that they've whacked in all these Orwellian changes, and what they're really looking for is microchipped people. And on one level, yes, it's about electronic tagging and knowing where everyone is, but the real reason is to manipulate the electrochemical processes of the body to shut it down from accessing this higher consciousness that's now becoming available. One of the things I've done in this new book, if you look at things like fluoride in the water, aspartame, this horrendous sugar substitute that's in virtually everything now, anything that says sugar-free, aspartame, and you look at additives in food, all different kinds, in food and drink, mobile phone frequencies and stuff like that, mobile phone masts and other communication frequencies, there is a real common theme among all of them, and that is they excite brain cells to stop the brain working properly and efficiently. And the other thing is they affect on the pineal gland in the center of the brain. And the pineal gland is reckoned to connect into the third eye and into a dimensional connection. And the pineal gland comes up again and again in terms of the adverse effect of all these things I'm talking about. This is why the book would be such an eye-opener for people. Because once you get the perspective of what's going on, the individual things like this in that drink or this in that food and mobile phones and all that stuff, it all starts to come together, and you can see how it's been coordinated to have a particular effect. And the fundamental effect is to shut down even more our ability to access knowledge, understanding, wisdom beyond the five sense reality, and to be able to see this world for what it really is. So the microchip is the jewel in the crown of this campaign to imprison us in this reality, because the brain is like the central processing unit of the computer on your desk, the central processing unit that's the one that filters and sorts out all the information traffic. Well, that's what the brain does. The brain receives information from all over the body, and it sends out information to all over the body. It's the central processing unit. In fact, the central processing unit in a computer is known by computer people as the brain of the computer. Now, the CPU, as they call it, the central processing unit in a computer, is a microchip. And if you put a microchip into the body, and you know what you're doing, then you are able to manipulate the messages going around the body, the electrochemical messages, which are creating reality. And one of the other things that I've really gone into in the book in some detail is to show just how much the body is not us. And one of the ways I've shown that is that emotion and what we call thought, on a five-sense level of thought, they are not us. They are electrochemical processes. This is why people can become depressed if they live next to a mobile phone mast or live under power lines, and they can become depressed if they have certain chemicals, like a woman here 2 years ago who'd been in clinical depression for 40 years, and then someone suggested or asked her, can you think of anything that you did or happened to you 40 years ago that caused all this? She'd been in out of mental institutions for 40 years, this woman. And she said, the only thing I can remember is that I had lots of tooth fillings done. So I think it was about 19. So the person suggested that maybe it was mercury that would cause this. So she had the mercury fillings taken out and replaced by others. She had a mercury detox. And what happened? 40 years of depression disappeared. And yet, Nicole, if someone had said about that person, what was their personality? Who are they? They'd have said, oh, she's a manic depressive. No, that wasn't her. It was the effect of mercury on her body computer. So we are thinking even that our emotions are us when they are a body computer phenomenon. Once again, a common theme of accounts from near-death experiences is that they did not, in the near-death state, the out-of-body state, they did not have emotion that we would perceive as emotion. It wasn't they were cold and emotionless, as we think you have to be if you're not feeling human emotion. They were in a very different state of being, which did not include these low vibrational emotions which hold us in servitude to them and cause our behavior and perspective to be distorted. It's a body-computer phenomenon. And once again, we need, if we're going to get out of this manipulated limitation and sense of limitation, we need to stop identifying with our emotions. All right, we're going to get emotional because we were in the body, and it's the body that gets emotional. I mean, people say, it's not human. Well, what's human? Out-of-body consciousness is not human, it's consciousness. What is human? What makes us human? The computer program, the hard drive of the computer, which we call the DNA, the cellular structure, that is what makes us human, that program. That's why when you come into the body and you experience this world through it, you perceive yourself to be human and you act in a human way, or what people sometimes call an inhuman way, if it acts in certain ways. But the point being that what makes us human is the computer. We are not human. Human is what we are experiencing. We are consciousness. And if you move your perspective to see everything from the point of view of consciousness rather than being human, then your whole perspective changes. And once again, as I was saying earlier, the way you act towards people, the way you act in certain situations, which people around you maybe think you should act in this way because they think you should act according to program, but you act in a completely different way because you realize that it is a program. And that these things that we take so seriously, these various interactions, are utterly irrelevant. It's computer level of reality interacting with each other. We need to come from consciousness where you see that this stuff is irrelevant and therefore treat it as such, and don't get diverted by it, and just keep the focus of what consciousness would do rather than what the body computer is programmed to do. Because one will keep us in the prison cell and one will fling the door open.
Well, I know we're almost at the top of the hour already, and you've got a grandchild being born as we speak, so...
That's right. About 10 minutes before I started, I got a call that my daughter is started labor to deliver my second grandchild. So there's so many things happening in my life which are the old going out and that old tired energy dying and disappearing out of my life, and a real new, vibrant, positive, optimistic energy coming in. And this is the next cycle, and I can't wait for it to start motoring.
And, you know, a lot of people have been reporting that kind of real major shift going on for them right now. So
yeah, exactly.
Exciting.
This is the energetic change taking place. But, you know, if you're a transistor radio and you're tuned to Radio 1, Radio 2 may be in the atmosphere waiting to be tuned to. But if you don't move your dial to Radio 2, you're going to stay on Radio 1. And so there is tremendous opportunity now happening for us to absolutely open up to a vast new understanding or memory of who we are and the nature of reality and how we can control our reality instead of having it control us. And it's all there waiting to be tuned to. All we got to do is lose all these programmed responses and programmed emotions and programmed sense of victimization that keep us from the full magnitude of who we are. And that whole cycle in my life is coming to an end. And I tell you, it's the more I feel this new energy coming in, it's like the world that was never was. It's just a completely different way of living life and experiencing life. And it's impossible to describe unless you've experienced it. And like you say, quite rightly, more and more people are doing that. But they have to be like the snake and shed the old skin. The old energetic skin and all its emotional ties and limitations and demands, and this is a situation, so you must act like this in this situation because my program says so, and if you don't, then I must react against you for not doing what I want and think you should do, and all that stuff. Shed that skin and come from a point of view of consciousness, and bingo, the world changes, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time to be in this reality, not to be alive, because we're always alive, we're infinite life, infinite consciousness, eternal, but to be in this reality now is a wonderful, wonderful time. We are going to make great change here, and the Orwellian state, while it seems to be getting stronger and stronger, it's in a desperate, desperate, panic-stricken effort to stop the inevitable happening. It is standing up in a river, trying to hold the river back, or even perhaps more appropriately, standing on the seashore, trying to hold the tide back. Mm. We can build a few walls, it can build a few groins and put a few rocks in the way. Yes, it can. But that tide's coming in, and no one's going to stop it. So the Illuminati's like King Canute, or whoever it was that King Canute tried to hold the tide back and couldn't. They think they have power. They have. Compared with the power of infinite consciousness, the Illuminati and all the power structures, they're like flies on an elephant's back. And we're going to see that.
Well, I have a jillion more questions. I hope we can get you back on the show really
soon. No problem. No, it's been great, Nicole. Yeah. It's a wonderful time. It really is.
It's very exciting. And I'm so grateful that you're a part of it and a part of the show. And thank you so much for being here, David.
Pleasure, Nicole. Thank you very much.
Take care. Talk soon.
I'm just going off and have a baby now.
Yeah. Well, have fun with that.
Okay. Well, if you contact me whenever you feel the need for another one.
Absolutely. Well, I'd actually love to do audience questions for the next one, and really, because you know,
okay.
On a roll, right?
Well, what we could do it when the book's launched, if you like.
Oh, that's what I want to ask you too. Where and how?
Well, it's going to be launched in September, and It's finished, and it's just at the design stage now of the book, so it should be at the printers by late July, which will give us books in our hands by early September.
Awesome, great. Well, let's get you on by then and do some more questions.
Brilliant, yeah. Well, maybe late August, something like that.
Absolutely, perfect.
Okay.
Well,
cheers, my dear. How are you? All right? Are you well?
Yeah. It's been a big transition period for me too.
And it can be a bugger. It can really. I mean, I'm going through an absolute cleansing in my life.
Cleansing is the word. Yeah.
Yeah. So many. Everything that's not necessary, or that's holding you back, or that is manipulating you.
Yeah.
They can't hold on to you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the clutches. The energetic clutches are just falling away. They can't do it, because as you enter higher frequencies of energy, those lower frequencies of energy that have been able to lock into you and put their clutches into you, they can't hold on anymore. Because Radio 1 can't hold on to Radio 2 once Radio 2 expresses that frequency.
Yeah, that's very true, and it becomes real apparent.
Yeah. What happens in the outer world is that people in your life disappear and other people come in.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you do, they change, and other things come in. And it's like the changing of the guard, the energetic guard, and it's a wonderful time, and I feel such a sense of freedom since certain things have happened in my life in the last little while, and it's just like great weights have fallen from my shoulders, and it's just fantastic. Great to talk to you again.
It's been a pleasure. Talk soon.